you feel the desire to run 100 miles, you can run 100 miles.
Running 100 miles seems impossible, and maybe even kind of crazy. And it is, but we believe in big, crazy dreams. That's why we ran 100 miles. It was such a life-changing experience for us, we decided to devote this podcast to preparing and inspiring you to run your first ultra race.
Are you ready to feel the highest highs and the lowest lows? Are you ready to do what you once thought was impossible? Are you ready for your trail to 100? Thank you for joining us here on Trail to 100, the podcast made to help you finish your first 100-mile race. My name is Jacob Bateman, and joined along with me today is Nick Apicella. Now, Nick just completed his first 100-mile race this past fall, where he completed the Arkansas Traveler, but it took him a couple of self-supported tries before that, before he was finally able to capture that 100-mile distance. Now, Nick has some strong motivation behind why he runs. He has some organizations that he talks about in this podcast that he is a part of and has helped founded and create that helps pray for kids who have cancer. So Nick is always dedicating his races to kids to help them through cancer and through what I would call harder than a 100-mile race for sure, these life-threatening diseases that they're fighting. So Nick explains why he runs and how that helps motivate him. And he also just dives into his overall running strategies, how he was able to prepare for that 100-mile race, what he was able to do to prepare for it that helped him get to that finish line. Anyways, hope you guys enjoy this one. Nick Apicella. All right, Nick, welcome to the podcast. We are so excited. Well, I guess I'm so excited to talk to you today and hear about your 100-mile journey.
Absolutely. I've been pumped all day to speak to you and super excited. BJ recommended you guys. And like I said, I'm just excited to be on the show and to be able to tell my story about my 100-mile journey.
Oh, yeah. BJ's a great guy. We had him on the podcast. He talked about running his first 50 miler when he had stress fractures going on in his shins. But so anyways, I'm sure you got a great story as well. So Nick, what even in the first place, you ran your first 100 this last October. So we're looking at about 6 months ago now, but what inspired you and put that idea in your head to say, hey, I think I can do that. And I want to go run 100 miles.
Well, it all started actually 2016, probably when it first started, had the passion to pray for a little girl named Emily. And I was doing a Spartan race at the time. It was a 15-mile race in Dallas, Texas. And I was going to do that race for her. And it led to doing that race for her. And then building into that, I was praying for about 5 kids during that race. It was a real, journey into doing more miles and miles and miles for these kids with cancer. And we just built into that and continued on that journey and continued to start running and practicing and doing more miles and, doing marathons, St. Jude Marathon and other things. But it's always been a desire to increase my miles, but it's always hard to get to that level because then you had to put all the training in for that to do that. So at that time, my kids were a little bit younger and had a lot going on with high school and stuff like that. But, I continued to train really, really early in the morning so I could get my miles in. And it led to more miles. And then the actual 50 miles that I did was with BJ Herndon. But before that, let me check back a little bit. I actually signed up for my first 100 miles in 2020, and that was COVID year. And it got blasted and got canceled. So I did my own run. It was called Running and 24 Hours of Prayer. And I was going to run for 24 hours. And my kind of goal was to get 100 miles during 2020, but I didn't know what to expect. I've probably done some 20s and some 30s, but I'm like, I just want to run ultimately for these kids with cancer and stuff like that. So, and we had 24 prayer warriors lined up as well. So every hour we had people praying for me during the run. And, you know, opposite of that, I usually pray for other people, but now they're praying for me. But we have a whole list of like specifics, you know, what we're trying to do. Ultimately, give God the glory. Second, you know, pray for the bones of the foundation, praying the Jewish foundation, have a foundation. We pray for children with life-threatening illnesses, and we pray for them daily, and we invest into them. We talk to them a lot, and we sow for the future, which is Christ, but it's also financial as well. We are a 501c3. But so in this race, I started in Conway, Arkansas, and I kind of had it mapped out, a little 30-mile loop. I was going to do that three times and do 90 miles and do 10 at the end for 100. So I did no preparation at all, not knowing what I was going to get into. I was extremely scared because there's a lot more that we're going to get into later of what you have to do to prepare for 100 miles. So I started just flying, you know, out of the gate because I'm not super fast, but, you know, in races, but this was by myself too. And I had a couple people planned out to kind of run with me through the race. But so I started going to Conway, Arkansas, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I was going to go 24 hours. And I started going and pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. And I was running really fast and really fast. And I didn't really have anything set up for like food or water and like that. I had a few stops, but it wasn't a really, really, you know, very good planned out 24 hour run. I was going to do it. But it was all about the prayer and about praying for the kids and the people praying, you know, for themselves and for the foundation and for, you know, everything going on. So I started going, and there was a few people involved, people at the base and some people along the way that kind of supported me. And that's the big thing about moving forward with all this is all the support you get and the people that back you when you're trying to achieve something of this magnitude. But say the least, I failed. I didn't fail. We accomplished our goal to run 24 hours. I made it 62 miles. It was extremely hard, and my body felt every bit of that 62 miles. I could not walk. I literally ran down a highway to another town, and it was pouring down rain for the first 30 miles. And I was going to go 50 there, 50 back. That was the idea. And it was not well planned out. Like I said, my mom was kind of there a few times along the way, but I made it to a certain location, and then going back was just been horrible. So I decided to drive back 50 miles, and we drove back. Everything just lactate acid buildup, everything built up my legs. I got back to the home base, and then I started to walk as far as I could. I made it 12 more miles, and then I made it 24 hours, and I was pretty much done. So that was my first attempt at, I guess, 100 miles, but yeah, the ultimate goal was to run 24 hours and pray for 24 hours. Yeah. And we had everybody lined up.
Well, that's awesome. As many of our listeners know, our first 100 miler was a self-supported attempt during 2020 as well. And it's tough. Doing it on your own is extremely tough. I almost think it's tougher than doing it in a race. But I want to rewind just a tiny bit on that. So you said at first it started just with one girl that you wanted to pray for and run for. What even put that idea in your head in the first place to run for a child who has cancer, who needs help?
Very good question. So I was sitting at the gym, unmotivated to even get in the gym workout. So I knew the stress of the Spartan race was going to be extremely hard because it was the running, but there's also physical strength because you do a lot of obstacles in that race. And I was sitting there at 4 o'clock in the morning, sitting in the gym, and I was sitting in the parking lot in my car. I remember the exact same spot I was sitting in. And I was sitting there, I was scrolling through Facebook, and I seen a picture of Emily with a little Duke outfit. And she was 8 years old, and she just got diagnosed with leukemia. And so instantly I text Stacy, which I knew them a little bit because they were from Arkansas, but they moved to Florida. And I texted her and said, I want to start praying for your daughter, but I want to use this as a little motivation for my Spartan race. So I connected with her, and she said, absolutely, you can pray for her. And, you know, and like I said, she was so from 2016 to June 13, 2016 to today, like I said, I prayed for her over almost 8 years coming up, and we have over 824 kids on the Praying Angels Warrior team now. And it built into a 501c3 June 5th, 2018 was an actual 501c3 nonprofit. And we have directors and all that stuff, all of the states as well. But yeah, it started with her. Then the same little unit at Duke, there was Evelyn. She had MPS, which is disease, and she's doing really well. Emily is still thriving and she's cancer free. And then Elijah. So the three E's. That's where it first started, in a little cubicle in Duke Hospital. Elijah, he had sickle cell, and they all three of them had a bone marrow transplants. So I really started praying for them three, and then it broke off to everything else as we started growing and putting on Facebook and communicating that I pray for these kids and I run for these kids. So that's kind of where it got started. Just thought, you know, man, I mean, when you put the time and effort into something, eventually you're going to get unmotivated to a degree, and it's hard to, what's going to motivate you to get back going into the gym or, you know, running or whatever you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. I love that. You honestly you're finding a reason outside of yourself to accomplish this goal. Cause I don't know about you, but sometimes it can feel easy to quit on yourself. But when you know that there's someone else outside of you that you're running for, or some reason outside of you that you're doing this hard thing for, it gives you that much more discipline, that much more accountability, that much more, you know, just strength to keep going, to feel like you're serving and helping someone else. Like, that's where the real beauty, honestly, the beauty of ultra running is not, it's hard to do it alone. It's hard to do it alone. And people are serving you, you're serving others. It's really a beautiful sport. So that's really cool. So you are one of the founders of this organization then?
Yes, sir. Yes, okay. Sir. Yeah, it started there for me. And like I said, it's built on, it's like, we'll start a foundation. And like I said, a couple people, you got to have three founding members. And then it just took off from there. And now we lost a few, but now we have, you know, eight wonderful directors in five different states. So like I said, it's going really, really well. Even directors on the team have lost children to cancer, so it's extremely hard on them, but they're serving others, you know, in their pains. But I used to be really selfish, you know, for a long time, and I did things by myself. But that moment when I was sitting in that car, it literally changed my life. Prayer changed my life, or I should say God changed my life in an amazing way, because doing something for others rather than yourself,
yeah,
as scripture says.
Yeah. Just a second that I know sometimes I'll be honest, I have struggled with running, even running ultras. Sometimes I go back and forth in my head, and some days I'm like, even as I'm out there running, but I'm out there running for like 3, 4, 5 hours sometimes. And I'm like, wait, what am I doing? Like I could be out helping someone right now. Yeah. I think what you're doing here though, like you're getting the things kind of churning in my head a little bit more of like, okay, how can I incorporate service more into my running? There's no reason why the two can't be connected. You're showing that.
So yeah, 2020 then. And then of course, you know, we did the Spartan, and then we did an ultra Spartan, which was 30 miles, 60 obstacles in 2018. And then, you know, it was always progressed to do something a little bit more, and then did a few marathons. And like I said, the 24-hour run. And then the next year I was going to do it again in 2021. I was like, okay, this is going to be different. I'm going to do things different. And it went about the same way. I ran 10 more miles. I made 72 miles, but I had 24 prayer warriors every hour again. And it really, really was good. You know, one cool story about, you know, the first person that prayed for me in 2020 was Lori, and she's from New Jersey, and she was special. Her daughter was battling the Ewing sarcoma, and she was the first person to pray, and she was the first person to encourage me, because I mean, you need encouragement through this journey, because it is extremely hard, especially when you get the more miles. Marathons is hard, but when you get into ultra running, it gets extremely hard. And you need a support team. And she prayed for the first year. And the second year, 2021, I had all my prayer warriors lined out. I had 23 of them. And I said, well, I want to put Lori first again, but she hadn't responded to me yet. So I did the run. It went well. I ate a little better. I ate a little bit more. I got to the point where I had some goose, hurt my stomach a little bit, and I ate some spicy burritos. Make sure you eat foods that you normally train with. That's a good key point right there. So I ate some different foods, but I kept going, kept moving, and I had a 30-mile route. I picked some roads that were really bad traffic-wise. It was really bad, too. I didn't pick the best route. I made it one loop, then I kept go again. And then I decided I'm just going to go to the track and kind of finish it out. But I had some pretty good pacers. Pacers are a key to accomplishing your goal for 100 miles or a long distance. But my pacers were absolutely wonderful in 2021, but they was running their own race. They was running their own 30 miles. They was running their 15 miles. And they left me behind a few times. And I'm going a lot slower than they are. And I let's rally back up, guys. Okay. I don't want to be selfish, but I need you guys to be here with me. So they pushed ahead again. Anyways, so we went to a track and we finished out just running around the track. And eventually I had to stop and I was just over here just lying down, just crying because I was like, I didn't make it 100 miles again. But and one of my directors, he wasn't at the time, Jimmy Criddle, he told me, your goal was to run for 24 hours, 2 years in a row, and you made it. You're about to make it. And your goal was for people to pray for 24 hours and you accomplished that. I'm like, okay, we did accomplish that. But so weeks and weeks after the race, it was kind of disheartening. I did cry a little bit because I mean, you do want to accomplish that goal. You set goals in your mind, but I'm glad I didn't sign up for that first 100 miles in 2020 because it took me 2 or 3 years to figure out. And, you know, as we're about to get to of the accomplishment that happened. So it was a process that I was going through. I didn't know at the time. We all go through processes. We all go through these journeys and God has got a purpose for it all. But Lori never contacted me during that run, but I did send her an email on Friday and all that stuff. And 2 weeks after the run, I connected with her finally. And I was like, hey, how you doing? She just lost her daughter 2 months before the race as well. So that was very hard on her. And that's why I kind of left her alone. And then she called me. She said, hey, Nick, I want to tell you something. And I'm like, okay. She said, are you sitting down? And we're talking on the phone. I'm like, yes, ma'am, I'm sitting down. And she goes, that night when you texted me on Friday, I had plans to kill myself. I had the pills, but your email sent me hope. And that night I flushed the pills and I sent a message to my family and saying what was going on. And she said, now I'm doing a lot better because of that one email. So, you know, when we pray for these kids and families deeply and hopefully connect with them in some way and in investing. And that was some investing that really turned out really well. So, It was really, really amazing that happened. But, you know, will we continue to do that?
Oh, that's just an amazing experience there.
I gotta stop for a minute because every time I tell a story, it's just, there's tons of stories out like that. But it's a hard ministry. It's a hard ministry.
I'd imagine that. And I'm sure you see a lot of hard things go on with that, and so it's got to be great to hear something good come from all those prayers that you guys sent up. And
their battles are hard. Obviously they go through the hospital stays constantly, so I try to emulate that a little bit, to encourage them, to lift them up, to tell them, say, hey. And I pick out names when I go on my practice runs. Okay, I'm running for Emily today, or I'm running for Aspen today, or Esther today, or Carter today. So I'm running for you specifically. And then I write up a little dialogue saying, you know, here was the run, but ultimately here was the purpose behind my run. And I prayed for you and I lifted you up and I went to the throne for you. And I, you know, here's something that cool that happened, you know, along my run. So yeah, I didn't think I thought 100 miles was in sight, but I wasn't sure because, like I said, 2020, 21, and then 22 was like, I'm going to start trying to get to the point where I think I can get this 100 miles. So I took 22 and said, you know, I worked on some things. I worked on some strength, which is important. I continued to train and to run. So I ran that about that whole year. And then 23 was it. I was like, okay. So the number one thing is you got to sign up for the race. And then once you sign up for the race, you're like motivated and you can start to prepare for it then. So 23 was the year I said, this is it. I'm going to do it. I said, I'm locked in. I had some longer runs kind of planned by myself. I've got some mind for some really good ideas for some pacers for my 100 miles for October 6th, 2023 that I got planned for. And I had that 50 mile planned at the OT 50, which BJ did as well. And I didn't know what to expect. I kind of had a clue to kind of stuff I did in the past, but I didn't know it was going to be that hard because, I mean, the amount of time an ultra is put into running when you're training for 100 or 200 or even 50, the amount of time that you put in and then you sit there on that race day and you start that race, all that time you put in and the effort you put in for it is absolutely astonishing. And most people don't see that. I always tell people, you know, I mean, you get what you put in, obviously, but when people are not watching, you do the work. So
yeah. It's a part-time job, right? That's it. Honestly, feels like that. To train for 100 is a part-time job.
I feel like it's a full-time job.
But, yeah, that, it could. Yeah, you're right.
So I got in this OT 50, and it was gonna be an extremely hot day. And whatever your 100 miles is planned for, you got to plan for the season you're going through as well. So I knew I was going to go through the summer, which I already done it two times on my 24 hour runs going to the summer and all the preparation you have to do for that, you know, hydration and just being really smart with your body and stuff like that. Cause in Arkansas, there's a bunch of humidity and humidity is very bad because it just sucks everything out of you. So, it's not dry. It's very humid. It's like 100% humidity in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. So I started this race April 15th, 2023. And the expectation of finishing it, obviously, at 13 hours. And I didn't know there's a time limit of races either. So yeah, 13 hours to finish this race. And I'm like, I got this. So the first mile of this 50 miles, I was 7:36 pace. Oh. It was on road. I am flying. And actually, this race, I had a pacer at mile 25. And normally, they don't have pacers. But I knew this. I asked the director, I said, can I have a pacer? She said, yeah, you can have one. Normally, we don't. But, I mean, I don't mind for you to have a pacer. I'm like, cool. It was probably the greatest thing for me to have a pacer in that race to understand what a pacer does and what his role is. Anyways, so I'm out of the gate. And then I start the trails. Trail is significantly different than the road. I'm more of a road runner. There's a lot less. I mean, you got roadkill in Arkansas, but you know, you don't have rocks and creeks and stuff you go through. So the trail to road is different. So I start the trail. It's a little dark, but people are like flying past me. I'm like, how do these guys just bounce on the rocks like they do? It is a technique. So I start going and it get hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. And I am just dead. I'm just like, my stomach's gone. I quit drinking. It was just like, I quit eating and I'm walking from 16 to 26. And
oh, I'm just, man, like, hit early.
I called Jeremiah Johnson. I was like, buddy, I told you I was going to finish this race. It ain't looking good. And he goes, man, if you want to quit, quit. I said, no, I said, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep going. So that race was for Esther and a lot of the kids. And her saying was, she had DIPG and she's from Omaha, Nebraska. Her saying was, I try my best. So that was in my head the whole time. And I had a shirt, I try my best, Esther Strong. And she was 6 years old and she passed away from a brain tumor. But so that whole time from 16 to 26 was literally praying for all these kids on the team. But Esther's saying kept popped in my head. I try my best. And I cried a little bit along the ways. I'm kind of a crier a little bit, get a little emotional, but everything went through my head. You know, running an ultra or 50 miles, 100 miles, it's a mental game. And you got to prepare for the mental game as well. I'm not David Goggins at all. But the more you do it and the more you battle that, the better you get. So, yeah. So from 16 to 20, 26-ish, I think was like the turnaround point. I got turnaround point and I sat down and I was about to pick up a pacer. So I was really happy that I was about to pick up Dustin Crable and Mandy. She was the crew. She was bringing stuff at some of the aid stations. And I didn't realize that there's little time slots. You got to get to these certain points or you DNF. And I'm like, and every one of them, I was like 2 minutes,
oh,
three
boy.
Minutes. And I'm like so close to this line. So I got there and they're like, you have 4 minutes. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, okay. And that's going through my head too. So if you run a 50 or 100, you know, there is those times where you have to get to. So prepare for that as well. So I got there and Dustin, he was the math, the guy, the numbers guy. What we have to do to get to this point, to this point, to this point at these aid stations to get to the finish line. So we started going. And the number one thing that I got at that point, I couldn't eat hummus. I couldn't eat anything. I couldn't put nothing in my mouth, but I could take in Tums. Tums. I carry Tums.
Okay.
In ultra 100% because that cleared my stomach up where I could start moving a little quicker. My legs were okay. They weren't dead, but my stomach was gone. So we started heading back and I started going. He said, can you run? I'm like, no. And I was like, okay, let's go. So we started running the downhills and walking uphills. And yes, you're going to walk in a 50-mile race unless you're the top guy trying to, you know, get first place and break some world record. You're probably going to walk. I walk. And that's, you know, some people think if you're walking, I call it walk with purpose. So, but he got me on track where we could go, got to the aid station. We had 3 or 4 minutes and then went to the next aid station. It was like, I was 35 and then 46. At 35, I fell four times from 35 to 46. Just boom, just fall. I'm sitting there watching my pacer's feet, which is not a good thing. So if you're running with a pacer, don't look at their feet. You know, look on the road so you don't fall. But I fell in good spots, so it hurt. But the fourth time I fell, I didn't want to get back up. And he came down and lifted me back up. So a pacer is a very needful thing. I'm glad I had them this race. Nobody else had them. And I passed people that didn't have pacers, that they were dead. We was trying to motivate them. Ultimately, what I've noticed in ultras as well is there's a lot of motivation for everyone to encourage each other to get to the finish line, especially the people in the back. Maybe not the people in the front. So we passed a few people. We kind of kept moving. We kept going good. And we made it to the 35 and then I was sitting down and we was taking selfies and Paul Turner, he's a 100-mile guy, probably done about 10 of them. He's like, get up and go. You got like 3 minutes. And I'm like, okay, let's go. I drank some ginger ale. And once again, you got to make sure you know what you're putting in your body because I don't drink ginger ale very often. And I did. So a mile past 35, I fall again and I throw up everywhere. It's like black, but it cleared my stomach up where I could, I felt my stomach was better. And I'm like, my stomach's healed. God healed my stomach. And I threw up. I'm not a fan of like sticking your, you know, finger down your throat and throwing up, but like, yeah. So I threw up and it felt amazing. So, but my legs were starting to get a little worse at that point. So 35 to 45 and then made it to 45. And I was like, we got this. And we kept going. It was burning hot. It was 90 degrees. The humidity was pretty brutal for April. I felt like, and made it to 45 and my pacer sat down and I sat down and I'm like, let's get up and go. And I got up and go before he even got up. And he's not even, he was there, but he hadn't ran 20 miles very long. He hadn't ran 20 miles very much either for himself. So he was at that point where he was pretty exhausted, but he didn't really show it very well. But he's like, all right, let's go. So we made it up another hill, made it down, and made it, all of a sudden, a mile before the run, it just started pouring down rain, which was, it was like rain from heaven. It was beautiful, like manna from heaven.
Yeah.
So made the finish line with 13 minutes to go.
And, wow.
So I was like, oh, wow, that's amazing. Everybody's gone. I think it was like second to last place, but it didn't matter at that point. I got across the line with Dustin. He was so supportive. Unlike my last pacers, I loved my last pacers, but they wasn't there to get me across the finish line. because the guy at the 25-mile park, Chris, he told me to get some tongues, but he told Dustin, your number one job is to get him across the finish line. There you go. He got me across the finish line. But during that run, he made me call out the kids' names on the team. He said, who are we praying for now? What's your why? What's your purpose? Why are you doing this? And I call it names. We pray along the way. It was such an encouraging thing to have him there and to push me. And then I gave my race perspective of the 50 miles. And I knew BJ did really well, and he finished really well. But I asked Dustin to write up a little thing of his, and he said, I did not want to move anymore, but I knew I had to get you across the finish line. And I'm like, I didn't really even sense that from him. So that was pretty amazing that he said he didn't want to get up about 40, 45 and continue to go. But he knew that he had to get me across the finish line.
Yeah.
It was pretty awesome.
That's what an experience. So that was leading up to your, that's the same year that you did. So this was this last year then, 2023, this 50 miler. Yes, sir. Okay. So this was like a big training run is what you're looking at it for the 100 leading up to it. What a mental toughness run it sounded like. Like if you were looking for that mental toughness aspect to toughen you up, like that's exactly what you got to have, a race like that where you just have to buckle down, remember your why, like you said, and keep pushing forward.
Right. So I kept training. You know, the time before, as far as the miles you put in, everybody's probably significantly different. Like Harvey Lewis, he does 100 miles a week, you know, which is crazy to me.
Crazy, so me too.
In my 24-hour runs, I was doing like 70 miles a week, and I got hurt quite a bit more than I normally do. But for this one, I decided to do 40 to 50 miles and do it 3 or 4 days, but have a lot more time to strength train. And be smart in my body and to work my knees and to prepare a little bit different. So from 2020 to 2023 was significantly different from that time to this time. So I did the 50 miles and that was my long run. That's the longest I ran. I didn't run any further than 50 miles. I don't know if it's recommended for you, but like I said, it was, I felt like mentally I said, I could put, you know, 50 miles in a week and be able to do 100 miles.
Yeah.
So I did that from April and worked all the way through summer and I kept running for the kids, obviously, and kept having them purpose runs. But what I learned at 50 miles for the 100 miles was I picked my pacers and BJ was one of them. He was going to be miles 48 to 58. And then I had Alan Stone from 58 to 85, and then 85 to 100 was Nikki Meeks, and she was supposed to be on today, but she had something come up. And I knew those three people were going to be legit pacers that's going to get me across the finish line. But I was a little afraid of the first 48 miles because I just doing it by myself. But I knew there'd be people out there to kind of encourage you, to kind of push you through. But so I guess I'll start with that, you know, day before, you know, obviously I prayed a lot going into it because I was about to do this 100 miles and I was a little scared, you know, the night before going to bed, you know, trying to eat the right food that week, you know, hydrating really well and knowing all the time and the effort that I put in, all the work that I put in, was going to be able to accomplish this for, obviously, the, you know, God's glory, and then the Praying His Word team, and then, you know, that personal goal that I've been trying to achieve for, you know, quite a few years. Obviously, I was about an hour and a half from the race from my house, so that was a good thing that it was local, so I didn't have to drive or spend the night or be somewhere where I wasn't used to. So I've been on this course quite a bit in my training. I ran 20s on it, and I ran 35s on it. So I ran the course quite a bit. It's a single track, Arkansas Traveler 100, single track, 8 miles. It was on the OT trail. And then after that, it splits off into like some service roads and stuff like that. So it was really wide and it was really nice. But there's, I think it was like 13,000 elevation. But woke up that morning and I had people lined out to pray for 28 hours for this one. I felt like it would take me 28 hours. It was a 30-hour time. But for this one, I was a lot more prepared. I had all my times, all my paces, and I sent that to all my pacers and where I'm going to be at this point, this point, this point, this point. I had it all laid out, had my meals placed out. I had a great crew that followed me along the race that had all the stuff. But in this particular 100 miles, they had 8 stations every 6 miles. So that was phenomenal. They had like a buffet, and I didn't expect that at all. I had all the stuff that I needed, I felt like, but I chowed down on the food. Yeah. And the main thing that I went into this with is obviously I have to eat, because I lose my stomach. And then once I lose my stomach, and I know people can endure through the stomach pain, but it was extremely hard for me to endure through it. I've seen some videos of people enduring through the stomach pain, and man, once you lose your stomach, for me, it was like I'm done. But anyways, I kept moving. But so I said, I gotta eat. So anyways, I woke up that morning. I started eating early, 4 hours before the race, and then hydrating. And then I drove, and then I called somebody to pray with them. And then I got to the race that morning. And like I said, I don't do a lot of races. I do some more training by myself and with others. But this, you know, walking up there, you know, picking my packet up, you know, seeing everybody's high-fiving, everybody's ready to go. And I knew some people out there that I've actually trained with a little bit. Pick my packet up. And I got my shirt, Arkansas Traveler 100.
Nice.
I got my card that has some guacamole and a bagel. And I took the shirt and I just threw it in the back, because I said, if I DNF this, I'm throwing it out the window.
Yeah.
I'm like, I didn't want to look at it. So that was a good thing. So I ate, and then I called one of my directors from Pennsylvania, Lenore, and talked to her a little bit. And I said, I'm about to do it. Here we go. And she was the first person praying that day. She prayed with me. And like I said, I walked to the start line, and the start line was pretty intense. And they was, I didn't hear what they was telling me. Honestly, you should probably listen to what they're telling you, but I was just locked in on prayer. There's actually a picture of me. I think I sent you. It's just some guy took it of him. And I was back there just praying, and it was just like that's so. I got it a couple days after, because I've seen us. The guy was in front of me. His wife was taking it or something, and I was like, "That's so important," because that was the beginning of the race. Because I started praying for all the kids on the team, and praying for the journey, and praying for the process, and praying for the pain, and praying for the preparation that I did, and I had it all planned out. But I felt like God had a plan. So I start off, and I start a lot slower than 7:36 pace. I think I'm like 8:40 pace the first mile. And I was running with the guy, and he was telling about his experience, you know, with 100 miles. He's ran 2 and stuff like that, telling about his family. That was the fun part for me, is connect with people and talking to people along the way. Some people don't like to talk. Some people do. If you're a talker, find people to talk and go away. So the first aid station, I got to go to the restroom. So that's a good thing about the woods. You can kind of go where you want to go.
Yeah.
You have to find a porta potty.
Yeah.
Or sneak behind a building if you're doing a marathon. But yeah. So there's ample woods. So I go in the woods, go to the restroom, and then I take back off, and I'm about a quarter mile down, and I forgot my water pack. So I had to go back and get it.
Oh, no. Jeez.
I'm
no
like,
one wants to okay. add mileage on when you're doing 100. That's the worst thing you can do.
I said, okay. But I felt extremely amazing. Like I said, got some pancakes and I actually got some more food the second time around when I came back around, got my pack. It was still there. So, and I took back off and started talking to people and enjoying the conversations and embracing it. For me, talking to people helps break up the time. Cause I knew, yeah. I knew 20 plus hours is going to be a long time. So I kept going and kept being motivated by other people's stories. And I got to tell them about the ministry as I was going as well. And like I said, everybody out there was amazing because I knew I had the support behind me from, you know, the prayers and everything going on. So kept moving and I was moving pretty decent. I was right at 11:30 pace. I was right on my idea. So my idea was to run the first 48 pretty quick. And then the back half, I was probably going to walk a little bit more. So I had a plan just to finish the race. Everybody's got a goal.
Yeah.
Trying to get to the finish line. And you know, everybody's got a why. Everybody's got a reason. Everybody's got a purpose. But we're all trying to get to that finish line. Ultimate end, we all want to do that. But that finish line was everybody's goal during that 100-mile race. And made it to 16. I kind of got lost in the woods a little bit. The course was well marked, but I was going and they said blue paint and all of a sudden it turned into like green. So I was like, where am I at? So I was like, where am I at? I started freaking out, but I felt really good. And I was just like, so I started tracking back the other way.
Oh no.
Again, I went more miles back, not miles, but it was like a quarter. And then I ran this girl. I said, are we going the right way? She goes, yeah, we're going the right way. I hope we are. I said, I didn't see a turnoff. She said, and that was the big aid station where I met my crew the first time, Jimmy Criddle. Okay, let's keep going. And then I seen people and the people cheering and stuff like that. And I'm like, whew, man, I made it. It's the first one. And I was probably 11:36 pace at that point. I felt really good. And I said, man, I'm feeling really good, Jimmy. I'll see you at the next one, mile 33. And so I started going again up a hill. I actually ran up the first hill really well and felt really good. My legs felt really good. I'm like, okay. I'm going to give what the race gives me at this point. And I'm just going to keep going. And I'm just going to try to make up as time as I can because I was thinking in the back of my head about the time stuff and it gets so close to that there's red zones. And if you're in the zone, and so I didn't want to get a car ride back. So I wanted to finish this race. So I kept pressing forward and kept going and felt really good and continued to eat really well. And continued to take some electrolytes and take in water. And, you know, obviously the keys to a race, you know, food, electrolytes, water, carbs, protein. I had kind of a plan of what I was going to eat, but I was just kind of eating everything. I know people try to mix up salty, sweet, protein, mm-hmm. carbs. There come people telling me their plan. I was like, I'm just going to throw some food in my body and just continue to move. But I didn't want to eat anything really bad because I don't drink Cokes or anything like that. So everybody's like, drink a Coke, it coats yeah. your stomach or something like that. I was like, I said, I did the ginger ale one thing one time and threw up. So I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
So I kept eating cheese quesadillas and you know, some pretzels and some different items. And like I said, that was, if you pick a race, make sure they have good aid stations and they good aid stations, they got good people, you know, serving it and it like a buffet of food.
Oh yeah.
So I was 12:36 pace at mile 33 and met Jimmy again. I drank a protein drink. I had a few things that I had personally and I felt really, really good. And I knew that section from 33 to 48 is going to go a lot of hills. So it was like a mile and break, mile and break, mile and break. So I knew I was about to hit that. So I kind of walked the mile hills, but there's a lot of downhill as well. But I was still right at 13 minute pace. And I was like, you know what? I got a chance to do 24 hours in this race. And I'm like, okay, I'm here to finish. Get out of your head.
Yeah.
My mental game was really strong at that point. I'm like, you know, people started talking about, you're going to get to this point. You're going to hallucinate and all stuff. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't want to hallucinate. You know, I've heard the stories of it and I've seen videos and I'm like, I hope I don't hallucinate. But it started at 6 a.m. and you know, it's getting closer to the night and stuff like that. So kept moving forward, and then all of a sudden I get to mile 44, and then the first place guy, he's coming back to go back to the finish line. I'm like, and he's at mile 60 something. I'm like, what the heck is this guy doing?
Yeah, so he's probably like, that could always be discouraging when you see those guys. You're like, how in the blazes did they do that fast?
He's like 940 pace or whatever. So yeah, I'm like, cool. But I mean, I gave him a thumbs up, and he gave me a thumbs up. I'm like, man, keep moving. Miles and miles later, the second place guy come through. And so that's cool. So coming to my first pacer, BJ, I was excited to pick him up. I knew I was about to get that point. I was kind of crossing there. And I was coming into the aid station. I seen him and I was like, oh, I got somebody to run with me. So I was so excited. It kind of stinks. I wish I was like 60, you know, 60 year olds can have pacers the whole time. I kind of wish I had pacers the whole time. I think that'd be a little better for me. But yeah. Anyways, it's good to be by yourself. Good to be alone. Good to have them alone moments. But it's always good to have somebody to motivate you along the way. So I pick up BJ. My legs are a little tight. I was probably 1350 pace at the time. I was still feeling really good. Legs were a little tight. I still need to work on that, you know, moving forward, how to prevent that a little bit with the lactic acid buildup, stuff like that. But obviously, if you run a long ways, your body's going to get tired. So, but I picked him up and we had a long stretch there to the turnarounds and the comeback. So it was 10 and 10. So BJ was excited because he was gonna get eat the buffets as well at the aid stations because they let them eat. So he chowed down all the way. But he BJ was pushing me.
BJ yeah. shows up for the food.
He showed up for the food. Exactly. And we started going, and he tried to push me a little bit. Let's run, let's walk, let's run, let's walk. And he tried to push me a little bit more, and I'm like, I don't know. So that's when I kind of started slowing down quite a bit. But I was really, really ahead of my times and my plan. So I was like, okay. So when I hit the turnaround point was like, okay, this is going to be hard going back. This is where I really got to set into my why. This is where I got to set into my what I'm trying to accomplish this for. And I locked in my head. I sat there, had some mashed potatoes, was absolutely astonishing. Hot ones, and she had a little bag with salt and had a massage on my legs. Man, the people on the pace at the aid stations are absolutely, they're seasoned runners usually, but they help you so much, and they're there to meet your needs, which at that time you're in a lot of pain. So I laid down there for a minute and just kind of said, all right, well, let's go back. So we started going back. And that time, me and BJ, he did a podcast that day, his podcast. That was really neat. We was doing that. I was very aware of what was going on, and we did a little podcast there. He did it at the beginning, and then he talked to at the beginning in his car before we got in, and then he talked to me for a while for 5 or so minutes, and then he finished the podcast then. So that was really, really neat just to kind of experience that with him. And then to hear the podcast was really cool to kind of hear how I actually sounded at mile 58, right around 60 miles. So I was like, I had 40 miles to go. So we kind of trucked into 68, but Alan Stone didn't know I was coming because the last aid station, they check your number and say, okay, number 45's leaving. But for some reason, they didn't mark me down as a left, so he wasn't ready to go. So I was like, oh, great. Where's Alan at? And Alan says, well, we thought you dropped out. And I was like, because they didn't check you out the last one. And Paul Turner's up there, and like I said, the guy that was OT50, he was the crew chief there. And he said, how do you feel? I said, my legs hurt. He said, everybody's legs hurt. Just keep going. I said, yes, sir. He said, your time is like astonishing. Like you're here at like 10 o'clock. And like I said, you know, the drop off is like 1 a.m. So like you're way ahead of schedule. Like you said, you could walk it in and be completely safe to finish. And I was like, okay. I did keep that in my head. Alan got ready. Misty Harkin, she's a seasoned 100 mile racer. She rubs stuff in my legs. And I was like, all right, let's go. Got some food And we started walking with Alan Stone for 68 to 85. I walked the whole time. Because I knew I was ahead of my time.
Yeah.
I knew I didn't want to strain something. I didn't want to fall. I didn't want to do something. Because it was going to the night. We was going off the mountain, Smith Mountain. So we was going up, down, up, down. And we did all that stuff. And I was like, he's like, do you want to run? I was like, I don't know if I could probably run downhill, but I feel like right now I just need to walk. And yeah. it was a lot colder. So I did, BJ had a long sleeve shirt and some pants and some gloves, which I'm glad because it cooled down. But this 100 miles was probably the best 100 miles I had as far as weather. And like I said, I told people I prayed that in for everybody. But the years before, it's been raining, it's been cold, it's just been horrible weather. But this one was like the perfect weather. At night, it was a little cold, but it wasn't bad. Obviously, I was moving, I was walking with purpose. You know, each step matters at this point because you're walking to the finish line. And we like I said, he played some music. He's 62, and like I said, he's done the Little Rock Marathon 22 times in a row. So he's seasoned in the marathon world, but I knew he'd be a good guy just to kind of just really be patient.
Yeah.
So that's why I picked him for this little route. And like I said, yeah, he's done the Little Rock Marathon every year since it started. He just did his 22nd one this last month, but just a phenomenal guy, really encouraging, really good Christian guy. So as well as BJ, but, because they encouraged me with scriptures along the way. BJ did it but he didn't push me to run. He didn't say, you know, you got to run, blah, blah, blah. He knew it was ahead of my schedule. He had extra headlamps, stuff like that. So I just shut mine off and just kind of just focused on the night. And we passed people passed us. You know, a lot of people out there didn't have pacers because they was traveling from long ways to come there. So I was very thankful for my pacers. He kept me focused. And we walked and we talked. It was like Road to Emmaus, the two guys walking, you know, and then Christ comes up. Felt like I was never mentally gone, which is a good thing. I've heard people get mentally gone and hallucinating and thinking things are trash cans or people, then it's like a trash can. I've heard horror stories of that, but I felt really, really solid in my head, which is a good thing. Unlike my 50-mile race where I felt like it was horrible, it was a bad experience. So I learned from past mistakes, and you need to learn from the little mistakes moving forward. So keep going, made it to 85, and people were sitting there, and people sat there afterwards that were just completely dead. And made it to 85, and Nikki Meeks was there, and she kind of just – she kept me walking. So I walked from 85 to 90 and got to 95. Went to a few aid stations, and the last aid station, it was mile 95 where those gaiters on your trail run shoes, so the rocks don't get issues because them rocks start getting the bottom of your feet. Man, that was horrible. So you can't move your legs. So I had her, she had to take my shoe off. So, and she don't like feet. And she's like, I'm not touching your feet. I said, you have to do this. I said, this is something you're going to have to do. So she took my shoe off and said, can you take my sock off? I said, no, I'm not taking your sock off. I said, you have to take my, I can't bend over. So she took my sock off and she's like, she took it off and she was squirming a little bit. I said, now you got to put it back on. It was pretty funny. So well, having
what a pacer will do for you.
What a pacer will do for you. 100%. And we got up and, you know, she sacrificed a lot to be there. You know, she stayed there the whole time, crewing me, for, you know, Jimmy was there for, you know, a long time. Then she came in and she didn't sleep all night. And then she paced me for the last 15 miles. She sacrificed time to be there for me. And that meant a lot. I helped her run her first marathon, a Little Rock Marathon, 3 years prior to that. So she wanted to pay me back by helping me finish my 100 miles. It was a touchy moment because we had the conversation along the way of all the stuff that she accomplished and how we got to this point. And everybody needs prayer. So we prayed for her along the way. And of course, we prayed for me to continue on this quest to the finish line. And I'm like, we're getting closer and closer and closer and closer. And we got to 95. I just went straight through the aid station. I was like, number 45, let's keep going. I said, let's push on, and kept on going, kept on going, kept on going, through a few more hills and came down. And there was one last hill at mile 99. And actually, it was, my watch said 100. It was like 102 miles total. But my watch said 100. I went back a few times and I'm like, I'm done. I got 100 miles. And we was at one more aid station. They're like, no, the your watch don't match the course. I'm like, what? So anyways, I kept moving, like, I'm almost there. And just, I was probably, I mean, my walking, I was 14 minute to 20 minute pace. So I was definitely ahead of schedule, 30 mile finish, and got to mile 99. And it was a big hill. And everybody complains about the hill, but I said, I've already gone through like 50 hills. So, I mean, what's one more? So she ran up there and she was going to get to the finish line and take a picture and stuff like that. And I got to, so I walked that last hill. It was like all the sacrifice that you put in for these families and these kids, and you're about to finish it for them. So it was one of those like last moment things where you're just like, wow, this is about to happen. Kept moving and made it up top. And then you see the finish line, because I visioned the finish line at the beginning and through the race that was like a visual. Obviously a lot of the kids' faces came to mind, but that finish line was important because that meant you was about to accomplish something that you've been trying to do for a lot of years. And I come up and everybody's kind of cheering, you know, obviously a lot of people finished before me, but everybody's race is different. So, and I started running. I ran to the finish line and I actually jumped up and hit the little tarp. And I'm like, what did I jump for? Anyways, and there was cheering and all stuff. And we got the finish line and I got the medal. Hallelujah.
Ah, the buckle.
I got a little kid's buckle. But
oh, nice.
If you get 24 hour, under 24, you get the big buckle. I'm like, I'll set that for another time.
Yeah,
I wish if I had paid for like a bigger belt buckle, I would have done it. But anyways, yeah, I mean, all the time and the sacrifice and just the moment to cross that line was really important. And I said, and I hugged Nikki and we took a picture and then we ate some food and we kind of just reminisced on, you know, the journey. And I'm 28 hours and 28 minutes. And then I said, let's go. She said, do you want to stay and watch the award ceremony? I said, I'm ready to go to bed. I've been up for like 36 hours. I said, I'm ready to go to bed. So then she drove me to my car where her car was at. She drove my car to where her car was at. And then we got in and I drove home. I wish I had my wife come and drive me home because that was a horrible idea.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I can't believe you drove yourself home.
So I had to drive home an hour and a half. And literally I was just like, oh, I'm going to fall asleep. And I was like, okay, let's just take the wheel. So,
wow.
But yeah, it was, and I got home and, you know, I hobbled inside and man, it just, you know, yeah, cross that line was important for a lot of reasons, but, and I told myself, I'm never going to do this again, but now I'm wanting to do a 200 mile race. So I don't know what's wrong with me, but
you got the bug. That's what I mean. We all say that, but for me, it took me 2 years to get over the trauma of my first 100, but sounds like you're getting over it a little quicker.
Yeah.
But wow, what a story, Nick. I love the stories of resiliency of, you know, you went out a couple times, didn't go as you planned. You did a tough 50 miler. You didn't let the, you know, what you could call failure, which in a sense, you're not failing, you're making progress, but you weren't getting to that 100 mile goal in the time frame that you originally planned. You didn't let that stop you. You kept going out. So just a couple more questions before we let you go. I'm just wondering here, like, just summarize, if you could just pick like a few bullet points of what you did differently to get, you know, on that last attempt where you finally got that 100-mile finish, that compared to like the first couple tries, what would you say were the biggest difference makers that you think really helped you run that last one stronger?
Preparation, food, and pacers, and I mean, obviously the prayer was there the first time, but yeah. You know, the preparation and the strength training and the time in the gym, and you know having more, you know, having failed many times helped to finish. Sometimes you don't succeed in something, but if you continue to move forward and having like a structured plan was really strong for me. Just knowing where I was going to be at this point to this point to this point, and knowing where the aid stations are, and knowing, you know, I'm going to be here, here, and here at this time. I think that was a big key. So I think that was the key for sure.
Yeah.
To finish.
The preparation. Yeah. I that makes total sense. Sounds like you prepared more for nutrition. You really thought out your pacers, who's coming with you, what kind of paces you're going to try to shoot for. Like, it really does make a huge difference. Like, you train, you went to that 50-mile race beforehand, knowing this is going to be like a mental toughness training run. Sounds like that last time, your last 100-mile that got you to that finish was all that preparation. You just planned it all out, and it ended up accumulating to a great race. So
I mean, you got to dig into your why, you know. Yeah. And my why was maybe different than somebody else's why, but like I said, the ministry and the kids we pray for, that was very, very, but then all the support, you know, because, you know, you get back and you finish and you look at your phone and just like, cause I didn't care. Do not carry your phone with you because it'll distract you.
Yeah.
It distracted me with my 50 miles. Cause all I want to do is look at my phone and see what kind of, you know, try to take my mind off of it, but I just need to focus on the run. So, you know, I had to drop my phone at 50 miles at like mile 36. So I gave somebody else to just take it away from me because it's distracting me from finishing. So, but once I got done and ding, 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 I mean, everybody, you know, on Facebook, Instagram, texting, they're like, how you doing? You know, did you finish? And blah, blah, blah. Man, just your circle of people that knew you was going to accomplish it because of all the time and effort you put into it. Because, you know, obviously that was me standing on the podium of me being number one, but all the time and effort you put in for it is man, the resiliency and just the effort, you know, just having the faith you can do it. And you got to be confident too. I mean, you got to know, I was confident. You know, out of 206 racers on the 100 miles, I was 88 and 126 people finished. But I think, you know, 70 some people DNF'd. So, you know, and that was my first 100 miles as well. So, you know, I was scared I was going to DNF. You know, it was an actual race, but, you know, getting to an actual race is important because it's structured. There's a goal. It's organized. There's people out there. You know, and the ultra runner community is wonderful because they all want you to accomplish. They want you to accomplish that goal to finish that 100 miles. And it was, you know, this one girl bent over at miles 70. She like rubbing stuff on my legs. I'm like, she's like, does that feel better? And she couldn't even walk herself.
Yeah. And,
you know, mile 80, I'm sitting on the ground for a minute. You know, somebody goes, do you need something? You know, they take the time to care for you as well but they're hurting as well, you know? Yeah. So, but, mm-hmm. And then I paid that forward to somebody else along the way. So it's just a long journey, but it's a very amazing journey. And like I said, you know, during the moment you're like, I'm never going to do this again. But now, like I said, I really, really want to get a Tahoe 200. I don't know how that's going to go because it's a whole lottery pick system, but it's pretty cool for Tahoe 200 in 2025. It's on June 13th, which that's the start when I started praying for Emily. That's awesome. The day of the race. So it'd be 9 years praying for Emily And June 13th will be the first day of Tahoe 200. And I've been to Tahoe, been on that trail. But like I said, once again, you still got to get picked and stuff like that. But I think that's my goal moving forward, to try to do 200 miles. I don't know if I'm crazy.
we all are. You got to have some crazy in order to do this.
Yeah, most ultras are just crazy. But yeah. I seen one girl do the Grand Slam. She did Corridor. She did Tahoe, Bigfoot, and then Moab.
Wow.
But I seen the pain she went through, but she took like third place and first place in Moab and all that stuff. It was just like, wow, that's astonishing. But ultimately, if you finish first or last and you finish for the time cuts, I think that's an accomplishment. I mean, it's a huge accomplishment to finish 100 miles, 50 miles in ultra, 30 miles.
Distance is a huge accomplishment. Yeah.
So after 100 miles, I did hurt myself. I hurt my IT band, and I couldn't run for 2 months. So, getting back in the game was really hard, because then you had to start back training. But then I moved to Greenbrier, Arkansas, and I started a run club, and now we're running. And I'm trying to help people cross the finish line as well for a marathon. Kane wants to do 100 miles. He went to St. Louis and tried to do 100 miles in January, and he only trained 2 months.
Wow.
He trained 2 months and tried to run 100 miles. And I told him he was crazy, but I hope he would do well. And I told him everything. But yeah, shoes are important. Socks are important. You know, the right gear is important. Yeah. You know, those things. And he didn't know any of that stuff. He was more clueless than I was, you know, way more clueless than I was. And he went down there and he did 52 miles and he felt like a failure. And I said, you went 52 miles. You did amazing. So he's going to try to do the Arkansas Traveler as well as BJ. It'll be BJ's first 100 and Kane's first 100. I'm going to try to help both of them get across the finish line.
That's awesome. That is amazing. Last question before we let you loose. Speaking, sounds like you're helping a few people with their running journey. So what would you say is you've given a lot of great advice. What would you say is your top piece of advice to someone who wants to run 100 miles for the first time?
It's a process. It takes time. It takes a lot of effort. It takes you, you know, waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning and doing the work, but it's all part of the plan. And if you feel the desire to run 100 miles, you can run 100 miles. Your body may tell you to stop, but your mind's more powerful than that.
I think what you just said, honestly, I just wrote that down. If you feel the desire to run 100 miles, then you can run 100 miles.
Yeah.
To me, that is amazing advice right there. Yeah. Just telling, like, you just need the desire. If you have that, then put in the work, you can do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, Nick, thank you so much for joining us. If our listeners want to learn more about you or your foundation, where can they find you at?
I found Facebook, Praying Ninja Warrior Foundation. You find that on Facebook, prayingninjawarrior.com. Find me on Facebook, Nick Apicella. You know, love to connect with you guys and talk to you more about that. I love individual conversations like with Jacob. Like I said, willing to help you and to guide you and direct you. Like I said, I do get to help a lot of people accomplish their goals. We just bought a training facility here in Greenbrier, and I do speed schools and stuff like that. But like I said, I'm training significantly different for the 200 miles. But like I said, you learn a lot through the process, but you learn a lot through people. And, you know, people will help you get across the finish line. You know, seasoned people that's done it before, having that conversation. I know on your YouTube, you know, you said, you know, there wasn't a lot of information for, you know, people to run a marathon, but there is people out there, if you connect with them in your area or across the states, that do 100 miles and they're willing to share their story. They're willing to share their desire that they had, but they're willing to help you across that finish line, which that's ultimately what we all want to do in life, is to cross the finish line.
Yeah.
To be with God one day, obviously. Yeah. But
Man was not meant to be alone, right? You need people in your life.
Yeah. 100%. Two are better than one.
Yeah.
But sometimes you get out there and you got to grind alone and be out there in your mind, because I think that's what helped me as well. Just to add on to that is to sometimes go out there at 3 o'clock in the morning by yourself and to struggle a little bit, you know, mentally, to get you to the point where when you're in the race, you know, you can endure that because you've already went through it. So preparing for that, but as you prepare, it's going to prepare you for the ultimate goal to cross that finish line.
Amen to that. Amen. Well, Nick, it's been a pleasure. Today. What was that?
I wish your wife was on today, Melody.
Yes. Yes. We wish she could have made it too, but sometimes life just happens, right?
I understand.
Yeah.
How many hundreds have you done?
I have done 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Done 1 self-supported and then 2, 1 up in Idaho. We live in Utah, 1 up in Idaho and another one down here in Utah area.
Well, what's your biggest goals moving forward?
Right now, honestly, I'm actually trying to get faster, gain some speed, become,
yes.
I'm trying to get my foundation almost back. I feel like I might have jumped to the 100 a little quicker than, I mean, I did it, but my stomach, every single 100 I've done, I've had terrible stomach issues. And so I've actually been working on changing my diet this year. Okay. I'm doing some 50Ks and a 50 miler here in May. So I don't have 100 on the schedule right now, but it's more doing the 50Ks, 50 milers, just trying to get back to being strong and healthy again. I felt like I almost just beat my body to smithereens the last couple of years. And like I need to gauge it back, get that strength, just like what you were saying, get the strength in, get the nutrition dialed back in, you know, and then hopefully I'll go run Leadville next year. That's the plan. Okay. I got a couple hundreds next year. Another one here in Utah as well as Leadville. That's what I want to
go Leadville's hit in California? Colorado?
Colorado, yep.
Yeah. Yep. I heard that's a big altitude race. Is that a lottery pick one too, or you gotta get
yeah, it's a lottery. There's kind of ways that you can up your chances in the lottery though. So try to do that. That one's big altitude. You get up to 14,000 feet twice in the race. So
Okay. Yeah,
and it's got a tighter, it's 30 hours, but which is a tighter cutoff for a mountain race like that. So you really gotta be dialed in order to do that one.
I think that Tahoe 200 says 105 hours, but obviously you're going to need a lot more on that back half, back 100 miles.
Yeah. But yeah.
It's cool.
One day the 200, I'm going to, honestly, the year after, so 2026, I'm eyeing my first 200. That's what I'm thinking.
I don't know why I keep just up in the game. It's just crazy. It's just like, okay, let's go to Tahoe and do 200 miles.
Hey, I love it.
It's so expensive too. It's $1,700 for Tahoe.
Yeah.
I guess the destination trails are all $1,700. I'm like, golly, I'm going to have to go fund me for this thing.
Yeah, so, exactly.
I'm excited about it though. I think it's part of the journey. I think it's part of the next step. And one of the moms of the team who lost her child talked about doing a shirt with 200 kids' faces on the shirt. And,
that'd be cool.
A mile for every kid or something like that. And I'm like, that would be really, really cool. So.
Yeah,
I think I'm really eyeing that really strong right now and looking and getting into that one. But
hey, we'll got to go to what calls to you, man. That's what I've figured out with races. You got to go to the race that calls to you.
Yeah. Like I said, the June 13th thing. And then I'm driving home today. I seen Tahoe on the back of a car. I mean, it's a car brand, but seen Tahoe and it just kind of just shined a little bit. I was like, are you telling me something, God?
Yeah.
Do I need to do this? So
I
think I'm just going to shoot for it and go for it. If I get in, that'd be awesome. If not, I don't know. Maybe the Bigfoot. I don't know. I don't know why I keep doing these super hard races, but I'm super excited to try something a little bit more challenging. And, you know, like you said, getting the speed work and stuff like that, do a lot more speed work on track and then do a lot of heel work and a lot of strength work. So some things I learned. And some things I need to plan a little differently with, and to be able to get to the point where you be a decent climber, because like I said, And it was pretty tough on some of the climbs because I wasn't as strengthened as I probably needed to be. But
yeah,
I appreciate you, Jacob, a lot. Like I said, God bless you, your family, and, you know, your child. What's his name?
Travis.
Travis. I pray for him moving forward as well, that he does amazing things in his life as well. So that's awesome.
Oh, thank
that
you.
You got this little baby. It's crazy how fast I grow. Because like I said, how old are you?
30.
Oh, 30.
Yeah.
It's funny. I'm all 30-year-olds and I'm 45. It fixed me 45. I'm like, man, you're young. So.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a 60-year-old, you're like, these guys are like faster than me. I'm like, man, what is going on? Dude,
they're faster than me, man. I'm 30. They're faster than me.
It's crazy how, you know, The generation of alters are usually older people. But like I said, it's fun. It's a mix of different people, but it's fun to be in it because it keeps you motivated to be 60 or 65 and 70 and continue these alters. You know, that's the ultimate goal, I guess, at the end, is for the health reasons, you know, spiritual reasons, but health reasons to continue to be able to do this for a long time.
Oh yeah. 100%. Well, Nick, thank you for coming on. This was awesome. We really appreciate it. So a big thank you goes out to Nick for joining us on the podcast today. Man, what a cool story he had to share, and what a great reason to run. I found myself thinking as I was talking with Nick just about, like, geez, how can I use running to serve someone? I love how he uses it to serve. So anyways, a great thing to ponder on as you think about your running goals and how to accomplish them, because a motivation outside of yourself always helps in hitting your 100-mile goals. Anyway, so thank you to Nick for joining us on the pod. Make sure you check out our website. We have some new items just listed up on our store. Remember, all items sold from our online store, trailto100.com. Go directly back into the podcast to help develop it and help grow it and help improving our mission to help you finish your first 100-mile race. So go check it out. We have some cool items up on the store. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. And remember, if you want to run 100 miles, make it happen.